Well, this morning, as we begin this new ministry year, I just want to kind of review the big picture of why we're here as a church. And to do that, I want to start with a little parable, a short story. Once upon a time, there was a group of men who owned some land outside of their town. And every spring, they would go out and work in the fields in this land that they owned. And the first week, they would go out to one of the fields, and they would till the ground, prepare it with a plow. The second week, they would pick another field different than the first, and they would go out and they would fertilize in that field. Then the third week, they'd pick a third field different than the first two, and they would go out to that field and they would plant seed in the field. And then the fourth week, the men would go out to yet a fourth field different than the first three, and they would water in that field. Well, one year when they were out working in the fields in the spring, a traveler happened by and saw the men working in the field and stopped, watched them for a bit, and then said, "What are you doing?" And the men said, "We're farming." And the traveler, being curious, said, "That's interesting. What are you growing?" And the farmers said, "Growing? What do you mean, growing?" And the traveler said, "Well, growing crops. Farmers grow crops. What are you growing?" And the farmer said, No, we don't grow crops. We till and fertilize and sow seed and water. That's what farmers do." Of course, you can imagine the traveler was a bit perplexed, and he left asking this question: are farmers really farmers if they never grow any crops? I think we all know the answer to that question, don't we? It's obvious that farming is more than just an issue of doing certain farming-type activities. It's more than just an issue of activity. It's also an issue of productivity. See, ultimately, a farmer really isn't a farmer if he never grows any crops. Now, that simple parable has a simple principle, and here's the principle. The principle is that activity is no substitute for production. Now, that principle, of course, that applies to farming also applies to the church. See, according to the Bible, the church is supposed to produce something. What is it that we are supposed to produce as a church? Anybody know? Disciples, that's right. We're supposed to produce disciples. One of the verses that talks about this is one that many of you are familiar with, and I'm going to look at it in a fresh way this morning. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Open up your Bible, book of Matthew, and let's just look at these familiar verses one more time. Matthew 28, right toward the end, and we'll focus on verses 18 and 20. Verses 16 and 17 tell us that after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples on a number of occasions, and on one of these occasions, he met them on a mountain up in Galilee. So he met with his disciples, and it tells us that they gathered around him and they worshiped him, and some still had questions about what was going on. But then in verse 18, Jesus speaks and he says this. It says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." Ends of the age, rather. Familiar verses. We've looked at them a number of times here before. There's a basic command in these verses. What's the basic command that everything else kind of hangs around? Yeah, go make disciples. That's the basic command here that Jesus gave to these particular disciples. So according to the church, according to the Lord, rather, the church has something that he wants produced. There's something that the church is supposed to make. We're supposed to make disciples. That's our product, so to speak. Now, based on what we see here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as well as a lot of other scriptures, you could summarize the purpose of the church this way. The purpose of the church is to glorify God by producing committed disciples of Jesus Christ among all nations. That's basically what Jesus told us to do, and that's what we are supposed to do to glorify him. Now, take your bulletin. Get your bulletin. Some of them are this color. Others are other colors today. Blue ones around, I see, as well. But grab a bulletin. Go to the front of it. And you see there it says, our mission. And the thing I want you to notice here is that our mission as a church is basically the same as the purpose of the church as it's outlined in the Bible. Our mission reads this way. Our mission, as you see there on your bulletin, is to glorify God by developing a community of committed disciples of Jesus Christ, which has an impact for Christ locally and around the world. Now, as you look at this mission, one of the things that we've seen over the years, just through experience and as you study the Bible as well, is that there's a whole process involved in carrying out that mission. And that's what I want to focus on during our time here this morning. We are involved in the process of doing that, of accomplishing a mission that Jesus gave his original disciples, and that's been passed down to us. In order to accomplish that mission, there are four key things that need to take place, and that's what I want to review with you this morning. If you're into taking notes, I would encourage you to do that this morning. On the back of your bulletin, there's a space provided, and it says notes at the top of the page. So below that, you can take notes and recreate what you're going to see here on the screen. And I think it'll help you to remember it. The first thing that we need to be involved in, if we're going to accomplish that mission, is that we need to be involved in the process of evangelism so that new disciples are produced. See, when Matthew 28:19 quotes Jesus, it says that we're to go make disciples, and then it tells us how to do that. And the first thing it says is baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, when it talks about baptizing there, it's focusing on kind of the front end of the process. And it's reminding us that the first part of the mission of the church is for those of us who are disciples to go out and help people who are not yet disciples or followers of Jesus to become followers of Jesus. And that's what the process of evangelism is all about. It's helping people who are not disciples to become disciples. Now, as you know, during the Lord's time on earth, he talked about this, but he especially emphasized it before he left the earth after his resurrection. In fact, the very last thing that Jesus said to his disciples, at least as it's recorded in the scripture, involved this issue of evangelism. Last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So again, this idea of being involved in the process of evangelism so that we can help people come into a relationship with Christ, people who don't yet have a relationship with him. So that's step one in the process, is helping people become new disciples. Now, when a person becomes a new disciple, is that an exciting thing? You bet it is. You know, some of us have had that privilege of being involved with people who don't know the Lord, helping them come into a relationship with the Lord, and that's an exciting thing. The Bible says that all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents, and that's a big deal. But also, though, we know that even though we've gotten somebody to that first step, the first step is still the first step. There's more that needs to take place after that. So after we help people become followers of Jesus, new followers, new disciples, the next thing that we want them to do is get them established in their faith so they can walk with God on their own. And around here we call that a maturing disciple, and I'll explain that a little bit more as we go on. You know, back in Matthew 28, verse 20, it goes on to say, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So we start the process by baptizing people, bringing them into a relationship with Christ, but it doesn't stop there. We want to teach them to observe or to do all that Jesus commanded us to do. So there is a process of getting people to the point where they obey God, they listen to Him, they follow Him on a daily basis, day by day, putting Jesus' teaching into practice. Now, the process of getting people to do that is what the Bible refers to as establishing them in their faith. So we'll just call that the process of establishing. Now, obviously, I think most of us recognize the fact that even though at the outset we may give all that we are and all that we have to all that we know of Jesus, when we start as a new disciple, we don't know much about Jesus. There are things that we need to learn and things that we need to be established in order to become mature. For example, when I was a very young believer, a new disciple, I didn't know how to study the Bible on my own. Somebody had to teach me how to do that. Likewise, I didn't know how to pray, and somebody had to teach me how to do that. Likewise, I didn't know much about walking by faith. Somebody had to teach me that. And as you read through the Bible, you see that this is a very common thing that we need to have these things built in. For example, Paul talks about this to the Colossians in the verse that I had listed on the diagram. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. You see, in this verse, Paul's talking about something more than just receiving Christ. There's something beyond that. And we need to be established and rooted and grounded in our faith. He talks about that elsewhere in Colossians as well. A few verses earlier, it says, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man mature in Christ. So there's that idea of maturity there. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power which mightily works within me. So Paul acknowledges the fact that in order to become mature, we need teaching, you know, further teaching. We need to be admonished or rebuked at times. And there's a process that needs to take place to do that. So after we help a person become a new disciple, we want to take them through the process of establishing so that basically they can walk with God on their own over the long haul. Now, again, this is something that we need to be taught to do. I remember when I went to my first assignment in the Air Force years ago. I had been helped some during my time at the Air Force Academy, and then while I was in pilot training, then when I went to my first assignment, I was the only Christian that I knew on that base. Now, I discovered after a period of weeks that there were a few others there, but when I first went there, I was the only Christian I knew. So there wasn't a soul there who cared whether or not I studied the Bible. There wasn't anybody there who cared whether or not I prayed. There wasn't anybody there who cared whether I talked to other people about Jesus, and I found that as I did, a lot of them would just assume that I didn't. So there was nobody there initially to check up on me as to whether or not I was doing any of those things. So I had to do that on my own. But one of the things that I found was that I was able to do that on my own because during those years of preparation at the Air Force Academy while I was around all those guys in the ministry there, they helped me get established in my faith so that I could walk with God when I was alone. So this equipping process, or establishing process, rather, is real important. Now, again, once we get a person to where they can walk with God on their own, is that a good thing? You bet it is. And we're excited about that. We're making progress here. But is the job done yet? No, it's not. Because go back to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And if you think about that all there, that all involves every command Jesus gave, including this last one. So one of the commands that Jesus gave was the command to go make disciples. So if we're going to teach people to observe all that Jesus commanded, then we also need to teach them to make disciples themselves. And we call that the process of equipping. So through the process of equipping, we help people to become equipped for ministry. And we call that a committed disciple. So basically, the difference between a maturing disciple and a committing disciple is the issue of ministry. The second step, we help a person walk with God on their own. And the third step, we help them to develop the ministry that God has for them so they can make disciples themselves. Again, the Bible talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Some translations say the work of ministry. It's the same word in Greek. To the building up of the body of Christ. So who is it that's supposed to do the work of service here? The work of ministry? Saints. That's all of us. So we're all involved in that. And the way that we get there is that people invest in our lives and train us or equip us so that we can be involved in ministry personally. So in one way or another, all believers in the church are supposed to be involved in ministering in the church in some way or another. Now go back to your bulletin for a minute, front page of the bulletin. And you notice our mission statement. We looked at that just a moment ago. But if you read on, you'll see that it fleshes out for you a little bit about what we mean by a committed disciple. It says, committed disciples are those who have a mature personal walk with the Lord, which leads them to intentionally help others become disciples, use their gifts to build the body of Christ, and actively minister to others. So when we think about a committed disciple, according to our process there, we think about somebody who has a walk with the Lord that produces three particular things. And we've diagrammed it this way. Based on a mature walk with the Lord, walking with God in a deeper way, we should see some fruit coming out of our lives or seeing us being involved in some certain things, and we've highlighted three of them around the perimeter of the triangle. For example, the first one on the right is ministering to others. Basically, what we're talking about there is being a servant, serving. A committed disciple is one who has a servant heart. When he or she sees needs, say that five times real fast, he or she takes the time to meet those needs. So one of the things that we're trying to do here at Hope Christian Church is help everybody have an eye for ministry, for serving, so that when you see things around you that need attention, you give attention to them. Lots of different needs in the body of Christ, and we all want to have our antennas up to that and do what we can to meet those needs. So just in general, a committed disciple ministers to other people, has a lifestyle of serving. But then also we realize that there are some special gifts that God gives to each one of us that he may not give to others, and there are certain special ways that we serve, and so we've entitled that Using Gifts in the Body. You know, when you think about that, I think most of us recognize that there are people that have certain abilities and gifts that we don't have. For example, Jim shared some of his gifts in leading worship with us here this morning. And the reason he's up here doing that is because none of the rest of us can do that. And, you know, we've all known people who have, for example, a special gift from the Lord in being able to encourage people or to teach people or certain leadership gifts. The Bible tells us that that God gives gifts that enable people to have special ministries. Now, the Bible also tells us, though, that when we walk with Him, He will use each of us in that way and give each of us a special gift or gifts to use in the body of Christ. So one of the things that we want to do is help people discover what those gifts are and then use them in ministry in His church, either here or in other ways around the church of Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing that we want to see develop, is the ability to use our gifts in the body. And then the third thing that we're focusing on is just this process of intentional disciple-making. In other words, that each of us owns the mission, so to speak, such that we're involved in at least two things. Intentional disciple-making involves at least two things. One is intentionally trying to help people who don't know the Lord come to know Him. And then secondly, it's helping people who do know the Lord grow and go through the process that we've talked about. So when we talk about a committed disciple, that's basically what we're talking about, somebody who has a mature walk with the Lord that leads to those three things. Now, once you're equipped to minister, there's one more process that is necessary to help you do what you've been equipped to do and help you to continue to do that. And we call that the process of encouraging. Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us that we need continual encouragement just to keep walking with the Lord, but also to keep doing the things that He's called us to do. It says this. It says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. See the day drawing near. What's that referring to? Anybody have an idea? Yeah, it's a reminder that Jesus is coming back. One of these days, He's coming back. And until that day, we need to have our sights set on serving Him and being ready for Him to come back. And in order to do that, though, we need encouragement. We need to be spurred on or stimulated to love and good deeds. And one of the things that we need to get that encouragement is we need to meet together. So through the process of encouraging, we help one another do the things that God has already established us and equipped us to do. So that's the big picture. When you say, why does Hope Christian Church exist? That's kind of the umbrella. It's to make disciples of all the nations and contribute to that process. And everything else that we do around here, in one way, falls under that big picture umbrella. Now, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at some of the things that fall under that umbrella. And again, if you go back to front page of the bulletin, you'll see down on the bottom it says, in order to accomplish our mission through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, we're committed to developing our community with excellence in the following aspects of church life or ministry. And they're listed there: teaching, fellowship, worship, prayer, evangelism and missions, and then cultural impact. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to just focus on each of those things, teaching, fellowship, and so on, one each week, and talk about what the Bible says about those things and then how they integrate into this process of making disciples. So that's where we're headed. So this fall, we're just going to have kind of an overview and a review of why we're here. You know, one of the reasons that I wanted to go through this this morning as we begin this ministry year is because just this picture here, I think, is a good tool for us. It kind of gives us a target and also an evaluation tool. For example, first off, it gives us an ability to ask the question, where am I in the process? Am I a new disciple? Am I a maturing disciple? Or am I a committed disciple? So it allows us to ask that question. And as a point of application this week, I want to encourage you to do that. Ask yourself that question. Where am I on the circle, so to speak? But then the second question should be what? Where do I want to be? And the follow-up questions would be, how do I get there? That's right. So the next question, you say, where am I in the process? And then, what's the next step? Where do I want to go to next? And what's it going to take to get me there? Those are key questions to ask. Now, one of the reasons that we need to be asking those questions is because when Jesus invites us into a relationship with himself, he's inviting us to be involved in a mission. This isn't just about, you know, us having fellowship with Jesus and hanging around with him, hanging out with him until he comes back. It's got that element to it. But it's also about being a part of a mission. And so when Jesus invites us into a relationship with himself, he expects that we would personally live a life of obedience to him and also help other people to do the same. And so he calls us into that mission. So as individuals and as a church, it's important for us to constantly be asking the question, what are we producing? Because remember the example from the parable. Are farmers really farmers if they never produce any crops? Or more to the point, are churches really churches if they never produce any disciples? See, the measure of a church is not how much you're involved in the activities the churches are involved in, but rather the measure of a church is whether or not we're producing disciples. Whether through the process of evangelism, we're helping people come to faith in Christ, establishing so they can walk with God on their own, and then equipping them so that they can minister to other people, and then we encourage others, each other, to do what God has called us to do. I just wanted to remind you this morning that there's a product here at Hope Christian Church. We're supposed to be producing something. That's why we're here. And we're just going to take a look at how all these other things contribute to that this fall. So that's where we're going for the fall. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to focus on our mission to the world for a little bit before we wrap up here this morning.